Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 586. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Except for last week when I was not here.
Oh, you missed it. Tony. Yeah.
Did I miss a good episode? I don't remember.
No.
I just listened. Was it bad because I wasn't there? Was that like, am I the missing link?
I do wish you had been there, because then I think we would have had a couple more questions for Jeff on Elden Ring, which we're not talking about anymore. So
that game has been banned. All right. Awesome. That sounds great. Back just in time, then.
Jeff corrected us on some things, explained some things that we might have gotten wrong, or our perception of, well, not necessarily that we got it wrong, but you know, perception of it was wrong.
Sure it was. Did Jeff call somebody else in to explain it for him? Is that what happened?
No, Jeff is the one you now call.
Jeff is the one who knocked.
True, it's true.
Because Jeff played it for like 7,000 hours now.
I don't know if you guys saw the last video I posted of me playing it, where I was like, I just walk into a boss room and fucking, it's like a two boss room, and I just fucking kill them both in like 5 seconds. Standing there shooting a beam like... Fucking just, oh man, it's
having a good old time now.
Oh yeah.
Earl's here.
This is episode 217, or 117, I should say. You know, this part in initiative, but yeah, I'm here. Woo! I like some people, I don't miss episodes for no reason.
And Jeff is here as well.
Man, 117. It's a long time ago. What are we actually? What number are we?
586.
Oh, we're higher than that. That is Mr. Spartan's call number, right?
It is. It is. I think he has Sierra 117. Although they called him John 117 in the TV show at one point, and I think Sierra was Halsey's call sign. I don't know. So much is weird about that show. And that's not really the it part that's weird.
It's. I mean, I guess we might as well kick off with that, because, I mean, joining the Usher's group of, like, video game movies are questionable. We now get to add, maybe video game TV shows are also weird, even though there are some really good ones. I mean, we had Castlevania recently. Arcanine was just the end of last year. Pokemon's going on, like, a billion years right now. Digimon. But yes, I think this is the... Is this the first live action one? No, they're the Mortal... I'm at TV show.
Is there?
Did not know. Yes. That. It aired on TNT.
Okay. Didn't know that.
Yeah, it's actually on... It might be on HBO Max. It's called like, Mortal Kombat Conquest. Hmm. Or no, Mortal Kombat Legacy.
Like, worth watching?
I didn't say all that.
All right. Yes, the Halo show is out, though. Paramount Plus. It's a Showtime show, though.
Yeah, I don't... Is it?
It says it at the beginning of the credits, like a Showtime production, which is, I thought was weird, because I also thought it was a Paramount Plus production. I did not know Showtime was associated with Paramount. Maybe they are.
Well, they own the company, okay. I guess.
Yeah, weird.
I did not know that.
I guess it was originally supposed to be on Showtime, like 10 years ago.
Yeah, the show has been long in development.
Could you tell? Could you tell it was long in development? That it was so just perfect?
Oh, it's not perfect. I don't know if anything would be perfect, though. They're doing something with Halo here.
Yeah, problem is, like, you can't really say something good with Halo.
I don't know. Like, so it starts out with like a 20-minute sequence before even the credits hit. That is wildly graphic.
Yeah, it was something that, because like Halo is an M-rated franchise, so it's not like, you know, I was like, oh no, this is, but it's not. It's never been a gory franchise,
right? like, especially in the, like, I mean, you'll come across some, like, oh, like, there's, like, you know, dead bodies, and this looks terrible, like, there's some blood and guts on the ground, like, what happened here? But it's not, like, limbs flying off, people being vaporized and stabbed through the chest, like, yeah, with, like, gore showing, like, it was very weird, slightly off-putting.
And oddly enough, still not my major issue with the show.
I mean, it's not. I don't know what my major issue with the show is.
I honestly think it's because, like, you take this lore and this franchise. Like, I'm a huge comic book fan. I'm not gonna sit here and make, oh, this has to be this thing. I've never been that way. Like, you know, like, I like adaptations that do something new and fresh. So that's the issue. Is like, the issue is like, they aren't doing anything interesting with it. It's super generic so far. Like, it's so generic that, like, if you tell me the initial setup, if you just tell me, like, the first, like, that first, like, I don't know, 5 minutes, I could pretty much tell you how this episode is gonna play out down to the end. Because maybe I've just not been paying attention to Halo games. The Marines were never considered dicks.
Not in the games. They're not. The UNSC is kind of, they kind of are dicks. Like, the Spartans were created to quell human uprisings, not to fight against the to fight against the Covenant. The Covenant came later.
Okay.
So they're pulling that. Like,
yeah, Earl. Even I knew that.
I don't think it's in the game anywhere.
I heard someone talking about it on a show. But they said it, it's like in the books or something.
It might be in, like, you know, I mean, it might be in the games, but in, like, logs and stuff. I think some of the cutscenes in 4 may relate to that, like the Halsey stuff. Because they've arrested her in that one. Yeah. So what else did you think about it, Earl?
I honestly did not think anything of it. Like, I watched it, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, this is totally a show.
It is.
I will say that I thought, I get what they're going for, but it gave me flashbacks of House of the Dead. I forgot if I ever talked about that on the show, where they're trying to incorporate the video game elements. So, like, he goes in the first person, he has the HUD. At one point, he has to recharge his shield so you get the sound effects. And it's like, oh, that seems novel, but it comes off really goofy in live action.
Yes.
Like he's supposed to be providing cover fire, and he's behind cover. And you hear the sound effects going. I'm like, oh, this does not work at all.
And if you're not a fan of the games, how the hell do you understand what he's doing?
Because, I mean, they do. There is a HUD element that shows that his shields are recharging. Like, I guess if you weren't paying attention, like, you really wouldn't know. I think later on he. It's also really weird because it's something that I didn't think of before this show. Is that, like, you know, Master Chief has to be special in some regard, and. So, like, at the beginning, like, these people are trying to fight off the Covenant, and their weapons are not doing anything. And then he comes in, why does his weapon shouldn't necessarily, his armor, I get, but, like, they were using the same type of weapons. At this one point where he takes the weapon off the back of the Warthog and he kills it. But I'm like, they were using the same weapon. Yeah. How did that happen?
I mean, he just has such precision aiming, Earl, that he could hit them, I guess. I don't know.
Give that man a ping pong ball and it's deadly.
Yes. He could definitely kill a Covenant elite with a ping pong ball.
I mean, this version, sure. And then, again, you know, I don't, like, the thing with the human child. Like, his annoying sidekick.
Oh, so you don't like the girl?
I don't dislike her. It's just, like, it feels like again, kind of like I was saying before, like, if you told me what you were going, like, how this was going to pay off at the beginning, this feels exactly like that.
You know what it is? Like, it, and Jeff and Tony probably can, since I believe they've both seen the first episode of The Mandalorian, that's what this is. Like, that, thinking about it now, and what Earl's just saying, it is, you know, Master Chief has a mission. He goes, does the mission. He ends up getting, like, oh, you need to do this thing. And then he turns on, like, he gets a conscience somewhere in there and decides that he can't execute the order. And now he has Baby Yoda.
Oh, yeah, good. So I've seen this.
Yep.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, you've seen this show.
Like, what was funny is, like, I was like, I didn't really kind of connect the dots. Like, it felt familiar. I was like, I mean, I like it. I like that they're setting him up to kind of be chased. But yeah, it is like super generic and already done.
Are you watching this garbage?
Not yet. That's some, like, I think I'm gonna wait until the whole series is out before I use my free
thing. Really dig in.
You know, which is watch it all at once in a drunken haze.
Is it supposed to be a limited series, or are they gonna?
No, because they renewed it for season 2 already.
Oh God.
That was the other thing. Is like, and I get it. Like, you know, Paramount Plus doesn't have a ton outside of Star Trek, but like, I was surprised that they only dropped one episode, because I feel like if you kind of like, I like how HBO does it, where they're exclusive. The first week they'll drop two or three episodes, because like one like this is a table setting episode. Like, you have to, you know, you're about the Chief, you're about the Cub. There's a lot of stuff going on, so then you give people a second episode to kind of get a feel and favor for the show. Because, like, by the end of the first episode, I'm like, I honestly, like, not a lot happens. Like, Chris mentions, like, there's a big action sequence at the beginning.
That's it.
And then, like, the next half an hour is, like, Chief sitting around his ship talking to this little girl. Like, other stuff is going on. You're being introduced to other characters. Like, nothing else happens for the rest of the episode. Like, at some point, they do try to break into the ship, and that's when he takes off or whatever. But that's the extent of it.
Yeah, like there's as Earl said, there's stuff going on back at UNSC Fleet Command or whatever. I guess it's on Reach, supposedly. Like, and you're introduced to Dr. Halsey, you're introduced to Commander Keyes, you're introduced to his daughter Miranda Keyes, who is also the daughter of Dr. Halsey now.
I get
why you would do that, like. We're just going to link the three of these together so they have some sort of tension. I don't know if it was necessary, but it's there. And I guess it'll show, like, you know, she's the one that kind of has the conscience, where Halsey is work related only. And Commander Keyes is like, it's very focused on following the law and the military command. And like, Miranda's the one with an actual conscience, so they haven't introduced then, Cortana yet, right? Like, there was no Cortana.
They teased her.
Yeah.
And then there's also a human with the Covenant, and I don't know.
Weird.
He's reading a human book, and that's a big problem. What
else? All that looks not great.
Yeah, I was gonna get into that, and I get it. It's a weird thing, I guess, because they make him very robotic. Like, he's very heavy moving, which is not the impression I've gotten from the game, especially recently, that he's very nimble, even though he's wearing this giant armor.
That was like the entire point of the newest game, is that he can move around now. He's not like a giant metal block.
But it's weird because it makes it robotic, even though it's, and also I don't know if it's the set, or maybe I'm just like, my maybe it was early, because it seemed like a lot of the sets were fake.
Yes, especially the the ship, and I thought the first 20 minutes, all the outdoor stuff looked like, I don't know, it just looked bad.
It is live action then?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
Well, I assume that like the elites are like CGI'd.
Dude, I honestly could not tell when I saw that. I was like, it looks like a cutscene, like from a video game. What is this?
I think like the cutscenes from the new game in some parts look better.
Yeah, it's a weird mishmash of styles. And again, I get some of it. I mean, it's probably filmed on the pandemic and stuff like that. But like, I was just like, it's just like, it seems like, I don't know if it was the sets or sometimes it seemed like the characters weren't necessarily there. It's like, it might've been like they filmed the characters in the background separately. Like, it wasn't like a clear like green screen or anything. It just seemed like it was artificial in some way.
I feel like, I don't know. I was like thinking about this. I'm like, maybe it should have just been a movie because then you could pour the budget into a 2-hour movie and make it look good. But it's weird. It's like, I don't know about you guys, what you think, but like, The Mandalorian, like, kind of looks real. Like, it doesn't look like total shit. It's all, like, in a desert, but, like, I don't know. It doesn't look fake to me as much. I don't know.
Yeah, well, to me, like, The Mandalorian looked like Star Wars, right? Like it looked like that world. Like, sure, lots of desert stuff, but it felt like Star Wars. I think that might be the problem here. Like, I don't know if it looks any better or worse, but it didn't necessarily like feel like Halo. And I'm still not sure it does feel like Halo.
It doesn't. Like, and I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out is like, what is the show that makes it need the Halo IP? I guess you have Master Chief, you have the Covenant. They've teased Cortana. You had the Plasma Sword. But it's like, again, like you said, put the Mandalorian in this, the show does not change. Put right. Boba Fett, the show does not change. Yep. I mean, put RoboCop, the show does not change.
Yeah. Any dude in armor. And you can right. do the same story.
Gladiator. Sweet.
It sure. would not change.
Mel Gibson from Braveheart. Yeah.
And that's the problem. It's like you have to, and I think that's the other thing for the first episode. And granted, it's hard to say because the games itself tend to be, you know, they tend to be on the planet surface. But it's like this big sci-fi world with all these crazy aliens and stuff. And like the first 20 minutes is in like a desert area. and then the rest of it's on his ship, but the ship isn't like, it's just like, it's two or three rooms. So it's like you don't even get to see a bunch of like fancy sci-fi stuff. I guess the cutest scene was like there's a scene where they, like I said, near the end they're going after Master Chief. You see all like the Spartans run and grab their armor and guns. So it's like, oh, they get a dress-up scene.
Yeah, it was kind of neat, like because like you see them go into that thing that holds them up as they put their armor on, and like you see the armor pieces kind of bolting in. It was a cool visual. Iron Man. Kind of. It was a neat visual, I thought. One of the better pieces. Some of the hologram stuff looked good.
Yes. Yeah. It's. I don't know what to
I didn't,
say.
I started it like when I watched that first 20 minutes, like, oh, I don't know if I like this at all. Like, it felt like a shitty fan film where it's like the fan like doesn't, they're like a fan of Halo, but they don't really
a dumb
get
fan,
it.
A bad fan.
Yeah. Well, it's like a maybe just like a fan that's like, I don't really get it, but like, and I'm going to be edgy. So I'm going to make everything like overly gory and have shit blowing up. Like, or what if we did like Halo, but Saving Private Ryan?
And like, you let me make it,
but like with kids, like it's like that's who dies first in this. It's like some teenagers that get blown apart.
Great.
Okay, and the final thing I oh yes, the teenagers are like the first people dead.
Yeah,
and like, they don't die; they explode.
Yes.
But the other thing, this does not get resolved by the first episode, and this is more of a me thing than anything, because it's the nature of the beast. But like, Master Chief is not a very verbal character. But like, it's been 22 years of the same voice actor, 21 years.
Yeah.
So it's so weird to hear another voice come out of him. And I could not adjust for the life of me throughout the first episode. Part of it is I think he just does not have as deep a voice as he.
No, and
that's,
I think
that's funny because that voice is so generic.
It is,
but it is also like, and I said he doesn't even speak a ton. But that's what is so weird to me. It's like that voice is in my head because that it's like it's going to be the same thing with the Mario movie. Charles Martinet does not say a lot, but he's been Mario for 25, 26 years. You kind of know how he speaks and the incarnations he has. So it's going to be weird to hear something else coming out of that character's mouth.
Yeah. I will say that once, so the Chief does take his helmet off towards the end of this. And one, that the head underneath there is not what you expect. But regardless, I do think the voice fits the head. And it felt a little bit like I wasn't as taken aback by it when his helmet was off. It wasn't as jarring. I don't know. By the end of it, though, I was like, all right, I'm on board. Like, it is generic. It is like your standard hero story, like I'm fine. Like I was honestly, our friend from Walt was like, "Oh, I hated the last 10 minutes," and it was like not for me. And I was like, I don't know, like whatever. The last 10 minutes were fine.
Like, yeah. Like again, I don't think there was anything offensively bad. Like I'm not like shaking my fist. It wasn't, but it's like yeah, like go in just. Don't expect, I mean, it could change, but like so far, nothing screams like, oh, this is for the fan, as they say.
It's like, and it's so strange. Like they do some, like, I think Chief and the other Spartans look really good. I don't think the elites look great. And then there's like weird stuff, like, you know, just like a Chevy Tahoe sitting out, like, and it's jarring. Cause like, it looks like a 2000 Chevy Tahoe. Just sitting out in this encampment where there's like other futuristic shit. It's like, why is this normal truck just sitting out here? Why are they using what looks like normal weaponry? Like they have like the big mounted gun, like the Warthog gun, but then like the rest of them are just using like what looks like 400-year-old weapons. It's like, why wouldn't you just kind of have like a cohesive feel to everything? And I will say that, like, you know, I might not have noticed the normal truck if it hadn't been spotted earlier and I had known about it. But I saw it. It was there. I don't know. I'm going to keep watching it, though.
Yeah, I mean, part of it, right, I mean, we'll see how this changes next week. With Moon Knight and stuff. I was going to say, but part of it is like, there's really not a genre shows on right now.
Yeah.
So the Boba Fett just wrapped up. Like I said, Moon Knight comes out this week, but like that, it's like Moon Knight. And that's really the competition right now. Even I think Picard just wrapped up. So you don't have a ton of things to compete with the time. And again, you know, like while we're still in this insane whatever this is nowadays, this pandemic, endemic, whatever, I do enjoy having something to like wake up to and watch on like a Thursday morning or, you know, Friday or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how we feel about it in a couple weeks or it's like,
yes.
We're like, yes, we want to watch Halo more, but right now I'm like, I'll watch more of that. I watched all of Boba Fett. That was pretty bad, so
I gave up after 3 episodes. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, you didn't get to the good one. Like, you got to watch episode 5, 6, and 7 are like all you need to watch of that show.
Okay, but I have to watch episode 4 to get there. I'm just not willing to do that to myself.
I don't think you do. Episode 5 is basically just a Mandalorian episode. I don't think Boba Fett even shows up in that episode.
Like an off-season Mandalorian episode. Yeah.
Like they forgot.
Like, you're gonna have
the writers
that.
Are putting together the show. Like, this one sounds really good. Hey, guys, we forgot the main character. Don't worry about it.
I would recommend if you're gonna watch Mandalorian season 3, you watch episode 5, 6, and 7 of Boba Fett, just so that you know how they got to where season 3 starts. Because something happens at the end of season 2 that, like, you know, if you watch the Mandalorian season 2, you know what happens there, and that thing is reversed by the start of season 3.
Oh no. See, here's the problem, though.
Good, kind
of. I accidentally walked away in the middle of episode 3 of Boba Fett,
mm-hmm.
and
I never walked back.
I never walked back. I forgot that the show was on.
That's fair.
Like, yeah. it was that entertaining.
Yeah.
I watched the first 2 episodes of Boba Fett. I thought it was total trash. Like, just not good.
You're not wrong.
Put a stop to that shit. I didn't even want to watch it in the first place, but Melissa likes The Mandalorian, so she's like, oh, we should watch this now. And I'm like, yeah, I guess Star Wars, and no.
I mean, it seemed kind of natural. The Mandalorian was actually, you know, entertaining and fun.
Yeah.
This show is neither of those things.
Didn't need to know anything about Boba Fett.
That's
and I didn't need to know that. I didn't want him to be this old fucking dorkus, like, whatever the fuck he was doing. Like, it was stupid.
Yes. All right. Well, enough Halo TV. Let's talk some games here. Let's just keep the crazy going. What do you guys know about Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origin, other than it's titled like a Square title?
It has like dumb cutscenes.
Can you infinitely undiscover it?
Sure.
I think the thing that's most important to ask is, can you kill Chaos?
Multiple times.
Are there chocobos?
No, at least not yet. I mean, there might be, but not yet. I don't believe there were chocobos in
Fantasy 1.
Yeah.
I want to say, I think that and maybe Cid aren't in the first one, but
that might be accurate. I don't remember if there was a Cid either. I clearly remember there's no chocobos you ride, at least. Maybe there's a chicken or something they call a chocobo, but I don't remember seeing one. But it takes place in that world. It is that map, in fact. You're revisiting areas from that game. You're fighting enemies and bosses from that game as well, but it is like set before the events of that game. It's weird. Like, really strange. It's a character action game. I had heard people like saying, oh, it's kind of like a Souls-like, and I guess, like,
is it Souls-like, or is it, because I've heard people compare it to Neo, which I guess is also similar.
Yeah,
but
I don't think it's probably closer to Neo than any sort of Souls game. It's also far easier than either of those. There's also multiple difficulties, and you can turn it all the way down if you want and basically just play it for the story. I'm not sure why you'd want to do that, because the story is nonsensical. It's fun. It's so dumb. But I'm not sure why you just want to play it for that. It's level-based, so like you'll pick a mission, you'll go do that, you'll walk through the castle or the temple or wherever you're at, you'll fight the enemies there, you'll get to the end, fight a big boss, and then you'll get another cutscene. It has tons of loot. Like, every enemy drops shit. Like, I have, I think my inventory is currently at 300 to 500, and I've dumped off hundreds of items, and I'm only on, like, the 8th level. It is class-based, so the depending upon the weapon you're using will determine which class you are, and they all can level up. And from there, there's advanced classes you'll unlock after you've leveled them up. Like, there's tons of options, tons of menus. I don't know. None of that shit matters. It's like the actual combat, though, is fun.
Is it hard, or is it just...
It can be, like,
okay, I guess more so, that's in this difficulty. Is it more like Souls, where it's like, you know, dodging and, you know, or is it more like something like a Bayonetta or a Platinum game, where it's like, it's action, you can parry and dodge, but it's like, it's cool, it looks cool.
I think it is more, it's more action focused than like the slow, methodical kind of combat of a Souls game. It's definitely more character action. It's not Bayonetta fast. I don't necessarily know if it looks cool either.
Oh, no.
It feels good, like, especially since you can flip between two classes at once. So you could be like a, you know, you could, you know, Cloud, whatever, you know, big great sword. And then you can have like a mage class. So you can flip between the two on the fly. So it's like you do a combo with your big giant sword that's like three times bigger than you, and then you press Y and it flips to the magic, and you can quickly press like RT, which brings up like a wheel that you can cast a spell from, and then it'll do that. So like you can do some like pretty cool combos, but it doesn't, like, you know, like Bayonetta looks neat. Devil May Cry looks neat. This doesn't necessarily like have that type of animation to it. It doesn't look bad, but it's not super awesome looking. And some of it is like the game is just dark in spots. It's like you're in like castles and hallways, and it's like, you know, some cool lighting, but it's not lit up real well. So sometimes you're like fighting in pretty dark areas. I don't know. It's such a weird, weird game. The one problem I do have with it, you can't just mainline it. It's like one of those things I know Jeff hates, like where it's like you have to like go back and like redo stuff to.
Yeah. And I guess they really want to capture that original Final Fantasy flavor.
you have to grind, like, and it's
grinding in an action game.
Yeah, and like. So like there's side missions, and I've not had to do them more than once afterwards. It's like you do them the first time, and I might have to do them one more time to get enough equipment to up my level to be able to take on the next mission. As long as you're within a few levels, as long as your equipment is within a few levels of the recommended, you won't have a problem. But if you go in, you know, too far under, going to get your ass kicked, and it's not going to be pleasant. I don't know. It's a weird thing. I'm glad it exists. I'm having fun with it. It's not going to be for everybody. It also feels like they wanted to do something bigger with it, and I don't know what happened, but they just didn't finish that piece up, because there are townspeople you talk to, but you don't traverse the towns. You just go to a menu and you go talk, and then you pick the townsperson you want to talk to, and it loads up a cutscene. And sometimes those cutscenes are just like, you want to talk to the gate soldier, and he just goes, "May the power of the crystals be with you," or something stupid like that. And like, he does a variation of that like four or five different times, and then other times you'll talk to somebody else and like they'll have an actual conversation with you. It's like, it looks like these were things that you were supposed to be able to actually walk through the town and talk to people and maybe do things in the town. And they had to cut all that out for some reason, because it's just really weird they have these cutscenes that are fully voice acted, but why do you do it from a menu? So I don't know. I'm having fun with it. It's really stupid. Like, really, really stupid.
I mean, you kill Chaos. I think it's one of those things that feels like it knew what it was going for. It may not have delivered based off of some people's reviews, but it seemed like it knew what it was going for.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it is. It straight up knows how dumb it is. And I think that might be where it's tripping people up. I think some people are, like, trying to take it seriously. And I don't know. I think it knows it's stupid. Like Jack is just the main character. This guy, Jack, is just, he is so dumb.
Okay. I'm curious to hear more about it. I mean, based off of its initial sales in Japan, I'm assuming this is either going to be on Game Pass or heavily discounted in like a few weeks. So I might pick it up then.
Yeah. I mean, it will certainly be. It'll sort of be on sale, I would think, probably, you know, probably having spring sales come up soon. So probably next month. but I wouldn't put it past, like, what, Guardians of the Galaxy was out on Game Pass in 4 months.
Yeah. 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 So, and that also sold terribly.
Yeah. Square has, you know, they have a history with putting stuff on Game Pass after a short period of time. So, yeah, maybe give it a try then. I wouldn't recommend going out and buying it. I enjoy Final Fantasy, though, so. And I'm having fun with it. Jeff.
Yeah.
Tunic.
Tunic. Speaking of, like, Dark Souls.
We weren't speaking of Dark Souls, but.
Said something about
the Final Fantasy. Jeff checks out. He heard Dark Souls and he's like, I'm going to ignore the next 10 minutes.
Final Fantasy Dark Souls, huh?
Well, you know, you know, Earl asked about, like, how does the action feel in Final Fantasy. This game's combat very much wants to be Dark Souls, but from, like, this isometric angle. And a bunch of other things about it are, like, very much copying Dark Souls. I don't know what you think, Chris. You've played a little bit of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's bonfires.
There's bonfires. There's
they're not going to tell you what the fuck to do.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Play,
which I'm not a fan of that. Like, I think I finally established it. We talked about this a little bit last week with Elden Ring. I think that might be my problem with it. Like,
this game does it in a weird way, more so than the From Software games, I think. Because it's just, like, giving you directions in gibberish. Like,
yeah.
Like, real, like, it, I thought it, like, I remember playing the demo now, and I thought that the demo was, there was, like, Japanese lettering, because I don't know what Japanese lettering looks like. And, no, but it's, as far as I can tell, it's just, like, made-up bullshit.
Yeah, it's just, like,
just meaningless.
Hieroglyphics for this world.
I really appreciate, like, the, you know, From Software design philosophy, like, the, it just adds to the sense of discovery, I think. But, like, it just feels like, I don't know, even they will explain to you, like, the A button does this, you know?
This doesn't even explain, like, you're just, like, it kind of, like, goes when you pick up your stick for the first time, it's like, I guess, like, press LB or something, and you do it, and you kind of, like, the menu kind of looks like a Zelda menu, and it has, like, three boxes that are, like, it's, like, X, Y, and B, so it's, like, all right, well, I only have the one thing in my inventory, now my stick's on Y, so then, like, you figure out, like, where do you want your attack button to be.
And it's, I don't know, man, like, you've played a million games, you're figuring it out, right? Like, it's not...
Yeah.
It's just, I think, it's just kind of weird. Like, it's a weird adjustment at first. Like, well, you really...
It's really strange when you start getting items, and it's like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, like you'll run into something in the world and you hit the interact button, like you'll hit A to interact with it, and then like a menu pops up with a bunch of gibberish and then a question mark, and you're like, "Well, I don't know what you're asking me. I guess do I want to pick this up?" Like there's these wells all over the place. I still don't know what they do, because I can't tell what the difference is from using the well, like.
So I do know what the well is. I only because I heard something on a podcast or read something in one of the write-ups on it. There are coins in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And when you pick up those, not the coins you get, not the currency you get, there are actual
like
items.
It's like an item. Yeah, I have one.
Yeah, and you can drop them in the well, which is a wish. I don't know what happens, but there's like an achievement for dropping something. Like 15 or something in.
Well, not these coin items, but touched on another thing that's Dark Souls. Like, there's currency you pick up from killing enemies and opening chests, and you use that currency to level up at the bonfires, and you could lose. I don't think you lose all the currency when you die. I think it's just like a little penalty, yeah. But then you have to get back. Like, it's like every little thing in this is like this. These people that made this were pretty big fans of Dark Souls, you could tell. Yeah, but like, I don't know, it could be a little, again, I like the whole design philosophy of like letting you figure it out, but it could be a little hard at times, I think, in this. It's weird. Yeah. It's like the way it works is as you go around the world, you'll find these pages laying around and you pick them up, and it's like filling out an instruction booklet, like an old school instruction booklet, like you would have got with an NES game.
It's really cool looking.
It's neat. Yeah,
it's all
a neat
in that
idea.
Gibberish language.
Yeah, but
at least there's imagery, and you can figure out what they kind of mean.
There is info in there that you will figure out, and it's interesting. I don't know. It's interesting, but like. It's also weird because then you're like, all right, I want to see the map. And then you pull it up and you have to like flip through this booklet every time just to see whatever the one piece of info you were trying to remember. You have to like just flip like through this ever increasing instruction booklet to remember like this one thing you're looking for. I don't know. It's kind of weird. But also kind of neat. Like, I like the game. I'm liking it so far anyways. I think there's things I don't love 100%. Like the isometric view, I think, makes it hard to see things sometimes. And they really love hiding pathways
yep.
behind like buildings and stuff. So you can't see them because of the view.
So
it just makes navigating hard, you know?
That's so it's kind of funny, right? So like, we were talking about this earlier today where I was like, oh, I beat like the first boss, which you were like, not really the first boss, but
yeah,
but like I beat that guy, and then I spent a half hour just wandering the fuck around because I didn't realize I needed to go behind, like I saw the stairs but I couldn't get up there.
It's all because of the camera angle.
Yeah,
you know,
and like you could just go behind, like, but I didn't know that, so it was like,
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, I did the same thing.
I'm trying to jump, and I'm like, all right, well, maybe I fucking like missed something, but I couldn't get out of that area because you have to drop down, and there's like there's a ladder that is broken, so you actually drop down into this area, and you're stuck there until you find this exit. So for like a half hour last night, finally I just quit. It's like, what the fuck? So I looked up a guide this morning that was like, oh no, you beat the boss. But you gotta go behind here and go up and bring the bell. And it's like, God, like I just would have been wandering around like an asshole. I probably just would have quit. I'm like, fuck this game, I'm done.
100% same thing happened to me, except I didn't look it up, and I did end up discovering it because, like you said, you're just trapped in this area. So then, like when I returned to that boss room again, like I ran through the whole area twice, right? And I come back to this boss room for like the third time, and I'm like. Well, there's stairs up there. Like, how come, like, I can't access? And then I'm like, oh my God, I can't access it. You just can't see it because of the way the camera angle's at. And again, that's part of that joy of discovery thing. But it's like, also,
can get frustrating.
It's just, Yeah, it is frustrating because you're just like, dude, it's not clear where paths are here because of the way you made the camera.
And it's like outside of that, like I really like how the characters look. I kind of like how the world looks. Like it's like a really neat Zelda type looking world. But yeah, like some of that stuff, like and some of it's cool, right? Like it's like, oh, I know there's a chest over there, and now that I know that, like the way the game is, I know there's probably a way to get that chest somewhere here. So I'm just gonna poke around at stuff, but
On tons of that, yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
So then you like got up there and you rang the one bell,
Yeah,
right? Behind the boss. And now do you have like a map page that shows you like, oh, this, like kind of shows you the overworld of that area?
I don't know. Like,
Okay.
probably.
You'll get it and it'll be in your instruction book when you flip around
Yeah.
and it'll show like once you have that as a reference, you'll be able to figure out like how to get towards the other one. But getting there, like once you get close to it, another pathway situation where that one I did end up having to look up because I'm like, I've been over this fucking this central like square a million times. I'm like, where I can't see how to get where like the map is telling me I have to be. And again, it's just some stupid pathway that you can't see. Don't love that, honestly. I also think that the game like really kind of copies what the combat of Dark Souls is a little bit, where it's like it's dodge rolling, kind of locking onto an enemy, and it's very basic, sword and dodge roll thing. But like for some reason, I don't know if it's a camera angle thing or what, like does not work great sometimes. Like when you're like. There's a couple enemies around. It kind of just feels hectic, and it feels like you're losing control of what's going on a little bit.
Yeah, especially if like there's like this, I don't know if it's like a mage or it's just like a really big dude, but he has like giant shield and like he's bigger than the other ones, but then you have to fight off these like smaller guys with swords.
Doesn't it just feel kind of hectic to you? Like, okay, like you're getting overwhelmed. You're pressing the left trigger to like
Try and
target one of these
lock
guys, but
on,
it's like
yeah.
you're randomly locking on a different like if it's just that guy, you lock onto him and fight him Dark Souls style, like you circle around to his back and beat him up, right?
Right,
Like it's,
yeah.
but like it just for me somehow doesn't work as well. Again, probably because of the camera angle. I also feel like the controls feel a little slow and like delayed or something in this game. Not as tight as what they're copying. I don't know. I'm telling you, like these are like my nitpicks. Like
Yeah.
generally, though, I'm liking it.
Yeah, I
We,
don't hate it, and I think it might
yeah.
be because like I agree with you that some of the problems with it are because of the isometric view, but I also think like I might be why I'm enjoying it a little bit more than Dark Souls, just because
I'm
like
also.
I know how to play
Go
those
ahead.
types of games.
I think I'm also being a little hard on this game for what it is. It's like this indie game kind of thing. Like, and I'm like, this is not as good as Dark Souls. I'm like, yeah, well, dude, like, talking about this is a much smaller scale thing. Like,
Yeah, I mean, from what I heard today on a show, like it was mostly programmed by one person. Like they eventually
in which
did add
case,
people, but
very impressive, but. I think I'm being so hard because I saw the reaction from people like on Reddit and stuff being like, I saw a lot of people being like, Elden Ring was my game of the year and now I'm playing this and I'm not so sure anymore. I'm like, I don't know, dude. That seems like a bit of a stretch for me.
I mean,
Like I'm liking it, but it's not like
so
it's
you're just mad because it's taking away attention from Elden Ring.
no, I'm
He
happy
really
it
desperately
went.
wants somebody to come in for the hard parts and do them for him. That's
I
kind of
just
like.
Can I summon somebody? Like, I could use somebody to
And
summon.
so, I guess that's another thing we should touch on is the boss, like the first like big boss is it's pretty hard. Like I was surprised. Like I had heard the game was hard, but I was actually really surprised at, like how much they go for it. I was like, God damn, dude.
So I heard you and our other buddy Chris, who used to do like the retro core, and you were both talking about it, And like, I didn't know which boss you were talking about though, and I hadn't
thought it was the guard.
So like, I got to the guard last night, and I'm like,
it's just like a regular enemy kind of.
I mean, I died a couple times, but like, you know, I beat him like a third or fourth try. I'm like, am I good at this? Like, you're like, yeah, no, that's not even a boss. No, it is, but it's not.
When you get to the big, like, you know, like you're in the first area, right?
Yeah.
And when you get to the big boss of that first area, I think you're gonna be like, holy shit.
Is that like,
but I figured out
you have to go through the gold doors? Okay.
You go. I think you go through the gold doors after you beat him.
Okay.
Like I went through the gold doors before I beat him, and it like just kind of spit me back out into the world, kind of
weird
thing. Yeah, it is weird. It's hard to explain, and it's confusing because the game doesn't explain anything. But after you beat him, you'll go through those gold doors, and then from there, you're gonna like go down a hallway, and I think from at the end of that hallway, you're gonna access the other three areas of the game. Okay. That's how it's going to work, I think. But this very first area, like this hub area you're in, kind of has a big boss at the end, and very hard. But without looking anything up, at some point I realized, because he does these big swinging attacks like a Dark Souls boss, and you just got to dodge and shit, and I'm getting fucked up, and then he pulls out this giant gun and he's shooting at you. And at some point I was hitting him when he was shooting that gun, and I noticed, oh, the gun's not hurting me at all. And then I was like, that's it. That's the key to this. When he's, you know, he's completely vulnerable when he's shooting that gun. So just keep that in mind when you run into him and he's whooping your ass. Just be like, oh, there's my opening. You also have like this freeze spell by this point where you can like freeze him a couple times, and you know, he turns into a block of ice that lets you beat on him a little bit.
Oh, is that like the potion looking thing?
Or
do you have an actual spell? Because like I picked up like some potion that's blue that looks like in any other game it would be like, this is what you use to refill your magic points.
Yeah.
And I froze myself.
I think that's something else. But it does work like a consumable in that like you'll get like you have three of them, so like. You have three of them. When you go to a bonfire, it'll refill to three. And that's another thing. I guess I'll tell you this, so because this is very easy to miss in the instructions, is that you could upgrade that. You could upgrade your HP. You could upgrade your attack. And you do so by, like, there's some of the items you collect in the world are used to do it.
So I figured, like, I unlocked a page in the book, but I was going to ask you about that because I still, like, I've gone back to the bonfire and I don't know what I'm supposed to do there.
So you go to the bonfire instead of click, like, you just, if you're just standing next to the bonfire and you don't click on it, then you hit LB, like, to bring up your menu.
Okay.
And then you could spend that stuff to upgrade, but you, like, I don't understand why they make you be at the bonfire then to do it, other than they just want to copy everything.
Right, because you should be able to use the tooth or whatever to upgrade your attack wherever you're at.
So the tooth upgrades your attack. So you go in front, stand in front of the bonfire, hit LB, and then you could do it. And, like, it even says, I think, on the instruction page, it's like, don't fight... You probably don't have this page yet, but it's like basically, it actually says this in English too. And it's like, you want to be this strong, like level three of these three things to fight the first boss.
Okay.
Well, it's an easy thing to miss because I was actually talking to Chris about that. And he said that he was trying to fight the boss without having upgraded at all. I'm like, I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah. It's like, it doesn't explain that shit. And like, for some people, I understand like that, like, oh, I like, discovering this shit. It's like, I don't know, sometimes I just need to be pounded over the head like, this is how you do something, because I don't want to waste my time because I have 2,000 other games to play.
Well, luckily this doesn't seem to be too long either, though. Like, you know,
no,
I mean, it looks like it's that first area and then three more areas and then probably a final.
It's from what I'm seeing, it's probably like 10 to 15 hours
total. Yeah. And a lot of that is going to be you scratching your head going, what the fuck?
Yeah. So
it's, going over the whole area again for no reason.
It's not your 80 hours of of Elden Ring.
So yeah.
I don't know if I could take 80 hours. Like, I like it. I like how the game looks. I don't know if I could take 80 hours.
I wouldn't want this game to be anywhere near that long. I think it sounds and looks about, like, 10, you know.
10, 15
as
hours.
As much as I'm going to enjoy it, yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it's neat. Like, I was pointing out things here because, again, like, I just, the reaction I see from some people that it's like, I'm sorry, it's just not on the level of something like Elden Ring. It's cool.
How dare you like things more than Jeff? How dare you?
I don't know.
I mean, it's the nature of things, though, Jeff. You know how it is. Like, the new thing came out, and it's like, oh, this is the best thing ever. Like, it's... There's going to be seven more games that those same people are going, this is the best thing of the year. And I'm not saying that it's not, right? Like,
it's also, yeah, I you know, I should say both you and I were very early on in the game to make any real. But again, I've played through one of the whole big areas. So I have an idea of what this game is going to be. And it's good. It's cool. Like, it's just, like, there's certain things that I think stick out to me. And again, it's still an indie game, and it's, I don't know. It's a cool game. You have Game Pass. You get to play it for free. Small download. Worth checking out.
Yep. So that's Tunic out on Game Pass now. Earl, you play anything this week?
I don't play video games, if you notice by now.
All right.
But, I mean, I guess the newest thing I played is I just sampled the new Mario Kart DLC. I don't know if
I did that too, Earl. Sorry.
Yes. I don't know. I was going to ask if anybody else got a chance to play that. I mean, it's Mario Kart. It's the Mario Kart 8 still remains really fun, and I thought the DLC was a good addition. I know there's been a lot said about its graphical whatever. I will say that I do kind of agree. Like, it does stand out. Like, but part of me is it gives it a really weird charm because it is an... They're older tracks. So it kind of gives it like this retro, like, oh, these tracks are coming to the new age, but they don't stand up to the ones that were made specifically for this generation. That said, the tracks are really fun. I think the big thing is really the Mario Kart Tour tracks because I don't play the mobile game. So they're all new to me. So that's a ton of fun.
Are those the ones too that, like, it'll be like lap two will make you go a different path?
Yes, yes.
Which is, I think, kind of new for Mario Kart. Like, racing games will do that. But I can't say I recall that for sure in any Mario Kart. Where it's like, you're going right this time instead of left, you know? Like,
yeah, and that did throw me for a while because it's like, yeah, you think, oh, I'm going to take this path again. It's like, no, that path is not cut off. Right.
I've actually turned into the wrong way because I somehow remembered after the first lap, yeah.
Yes, and I guess what that does is it mimics the... Because I guess in Tour, because like Mario Kart Tour is on rails, essentially. So like you can pick paths in that, but since this is free control... It mimics that by just having to pass alternate. But again, and also, I mean, just because of what Tour is, they're also kind of the first real world, because it's like Tokyo and Paris. Yeah. So it's like it's their actual real world cities compared to what you would typically get. Like, there are Mario Kart tracks set in cities, but they aren't necessarily real cities. So, yeah, that's another fun addition to the franchise.
There's one track where you get like crazy air. It felt like I was like, I'm gonna float off the top of the fucking screen. I can't remember which one it was.
I think that's the ninja one.
I think you're right. I swear to God, I think that one of the tracks is new. Am I wrong?
None of them are new. New.
Because like, you know how it'll say tour. It'll say like what game it's from. I swear that like the last track of the first. I think that doesn't say anything.
That's the ninja one. I think it's from
Tour. Is it from Tour?
Yeah.
So I thought that was brand new. I guess I didn't. I don't know. I'm going to get a look at it again. Because I was like looking at it. I'm like, it's the only one that doesn't say anything. And that is, you're right. That is that one. Is Tokyo it's supposed to be?
Yeah. Or I forget. It's like, I don't want to stereotype. It's like Ninja something.
Yeah.
It might be, but yeah, it's a really fun addition. I guess on the other end of the spectrum, I might as well say this too. I paid more Rocket League. Still awful at that game. I've gotten better. Still have not won a game yet. There was one game we were up 3-0, and we ended up losing 5-3 in the last 2.5 minutes. So we got I got some work to do. I think in my head, it's just really trying to get used to like the momentum and learning how to, like, really, I'm just like, because I can't, spatial awareness of like, it's a 3D realm, but also like, because you have vertical and horizontal, I can't do that spatial thing. So I can't really time the ball to aim it, hit it in midair or something. I gotta wait till it hits the ground, and usually somebody's running into you.
So Ninja Hideaway is the one I think you guys were talking about.
Yes.
And that is from Tor.
Okay. I don't know why. I thought that one was based off of Mario Odyssey, because like that's Mario Odyssey. Like Mario Odyssey's final level looks like that.
I mean, but it's possible that it could be influenced by it, but because all these tracks are post Odyssey, because I think Tor came like 2018, 2019.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know why I didn't see, like, because they do have all, like, the little label saying this is what this one's from. And I was like, oh, they threw a new one in. Like, I was all excited. I'm like, is there going to be a new one with every set that they release? And I guess it's just a tour
level. And that's what I said. That's why I'm excited about the tour stuff, because it is all new to me because I don't play the game. So it's like, it's very nice to kind of, like, you get it. Because it's also, because on the other end, you also get the thing where it's like, I paid, what is that called? There's a few, I mean, you know, but like the ones that you play, it's like, oh man, I actually remember this from like, I think there's one from Wii, which is Coconut Mall. And I just, oh yeah, I remember like the ramps that like, alternate between like going fast and that. And then you had the one from the 3DS with like the bats that come out of the cave and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, I remember these tracks. And it's like, oh, it kind of, because you don't, I mean, I guess I didn't think about it because like Mario Kart Wii is what I would say it came out in 2008, so it's 14 years old.
Yeah.
And I assume that I've not really, I mean, especially since 8, I've not played it in probably a decade. So it's like one of those things where it's like, oh man, like you forget how much time you invested into this franchise, and then it's like, oh yeah. So yeah, that's a fun thing to kind of go back to. So
nothing about it like blew me away, but just the idea of, especially like once they're all out, like just the way huger track selection will make a big difference playing more Mario Kart, you know?
Yeah, and I think, I mean, granted, I don't think the game itself needed it, but it's a, you know, it's a nice way for people to kind of go back and revisit the game. Because, yeah, I don't know that that's going to actually fire it up. Like, it's a good game to play with friends, but who has the time?
There is some weird things, though, graphically. Like, even on that mall level, I saw someone post, like, those escalators have less definition on this version. I'm like, why? Like, why would you redo it and make it look
different like that? Well, I mean, the big thing is, I don't know. It's like, these are upscale versions of the Tor tracks. Like, all of these tracks are in Mario Kart Tor. So I assume it's like them taking those assets and just uprising them again.
Oh, so like that mall level from the Wii one is in Mario Kart Tour? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
That explains it a little bit.
Does make, they're just using like shittier versions of.
Yeah. We are getting Mario, getting the mobile Mario Kart game ported to the Switch, basically.
Like, yes.
I imagine like they were like, oh, you know, like we it's a good. We can recoup the cost of these tracks that we already invested in and probably get more people to buy 8. So,
you know what, though? Like I said, at the end of the day, making that huger track selection just will make it feel fresh at the end of it all. And it gives you a little something to look forward to every, what is it?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a replacement in some ways for like the Smash Brothers stuff where it's like, oh, you know, every time, like, you know, I can see the next tracks being announced that, like, whatever would be the June event, being like, okay, and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Pack set 2 is, here are your 8 tracks.
Yeah.
Anything else, Earl?
I think that's it. I mean, I've been playing Rainbow Six Extraction. I don't think I touched on it. Actually, no. It's an old game. I've talked about this constantly, but they actually had a big change this week. Fortnite started its new season, and part of its new season, at least for the first week and a half, is you can't build. So, that has really kind of taken some getting used to. Because again, you know, the one, I mean, its name is Fort. So one of the big aspects of Fortnite has always been the construction, like building areas and ramps and stuff to navigate and to protect yourself and shield up. And there's always kind of been a fight in the community since then, because people have gotten really, 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 really damn good at building and editing. It's like there will be times like you get near the end and it's like you're fighting somebody and that person will construct the Eiffel Tower before you have a chance to reload your gun. And I don't mind it. Like I do get how it can be annoying and it's frustrating for people, because there is a certain skill gap, especially when it comes to console versus PC, because PC has that, like a lot of those are binded to separate keys, so it's much easier than having to switch to like a different button and then pick up your walls or whatever. I get that, but I always thought it was a core part of the game. But people didn't, so they announced, like, it's been rumored for a while, but they announced it when this new season came out, which I don't feel sorry for them. It's Epic. They have a ton of money. This season is war-themed, which is not a good idea when it's
that's pretty bad timing.
Not a great look.
So it was like, because usually they would tease and hint at the new season. They did none of that promotion. It was just like, here's a new season. Go at it. And they
canceled next season, which was From Russia with Love.
Who knows? But yes. As part of the no build stuff, they've added a lot of mobility options, which, I mean, I feel like this game has been aiming towards being Apex Legends for a while, but it adds a lot of stuff that I think are, you have a dedicated sprint that has a stamina meter. I think the last season they added the ability to slide down hills and stuff like that. Now you can also climb over walls and structures. So in addition to that, like I said, it is a war theme, so you can donate money to certain areas for war causes. There are tanks in the game now, which are both broken and not, because there's been vehicles in Fortnite for a while. But tanks, because they are friggin' tanks, have a crap ton of health. But if you are able to get rid of, there's a hatch in the front, if you're able to dislodge that, the shooter just becomes the gunner just becomes a fish in a barrel, because they can't move. And if you get close enough, the tank has to aim further. It can't aim directly in front of itself. So, and then the other thing they added, which is really cool, they added turrets, which, games have that. But now you can also use them as cannons, so you can go in, you can knock yourself in, and then fire yourself out to cover distances. And again, that helps with the fact that because you can't build, there are, vertical challenges and stuff like that. The flip side is they have not changed the map, and part of that is they are bringing back building next week. So there are places where, we've always preferred getting the high ground when we play. But there are times where it's just like you will get screwed over if you did not navigate in time. Like, we won one game because a squad was beneath us and there was no way for them to get up and there was no cover. So they could duck in every so often to refill their health. But at the end of the day, we have high ground in a moving storm. You're either going to get trapped in there or you're going to come out and get shot in the head. So eventually they got shot in the head multiple times. And then the big, I guess, get you for the season is Doctor Strange is the level 100 season pass bonus skin. And then the Prowler from Spider-Man will be one of the season quest skins.
Oh, nice.
So, yes, that is my Fortnite update.
Fortnite's still going strong.
They're going strong. Oh, yes, and I guess the other thing, which is more news, is I forget how long it is. It's probably the first, I don't know if it's the first week or the first month, but every dollar that Epic raises will go to be donated to the Ukraine relief efforts. And then they announced, like, in the first day, they raised $36 million or something like that.
Oh, wow. Well, that's good. I mean, nice to see these corporations actually doing something for a change. So
I mean, they're doing something, but that doing so, it's I get it.
Totally
and
performative, yes.
I mean, it's
like the Humble Bundle.
Yeah, so as I say, it's not even that it's performative. It's that they're donating money that people are giving them. Yeah. It's not like they're donating. They're not using any money.
Yeah.
They're just not gaining any.
Yeah, they're just redirecting it. Like, look at us. You're right. And I fell right into it. So, Tony, what have you been playing?
I've still been getting through Far Cry 6, which I'm starting to get sick of because there's nothing wrong with it. It's just more Far Cry, and I don't know.
Those games are long.
They are. They're very long. And I look and I see like, oh, I've played this game for 15 hours. I'm like, is that really how much time I really wanted to spend in this game? Like, I could be playing Horizon Forbidden West or, you know, games that are.
Horizon to play.
I haven't started. Because I was playing Total War, which came out the day before Horizon came out. So I haven't actually started Horizon yet. But I did play because they have that the top 10 Xbox games. If you get an achievement, you get 500 rewards points.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
So, but one of the games on the list was the Hitman Collection.
Mm-hmm.
The Hitman Trilogy. So I finally got back into Hitman 3, which I'd only played the first level of a year ago and then stopped. So
was the first level in the skyscraper?
Yeah,
like a party. I love that level. I think that might have been my favorite. Anyways,
yeah. So I have now played the second level,
okay.
which is the woman who fakes her own funeral or fakes her own death, and invites a bunch of people to her funeral and breaking her mansion to actually kill her for real.
Oh, the murder mystery in the mansion level.
Yes,
that's really neat and creative. Yeah,
and that was the path I took was solving the murder mystery. Because there's like, you know, the classic murder mystery whodunit moment at the end where you get to explain everything.
Yeah, and, or you could just like do Hitman bullshit and fucking kill people. Like, yes. Yeah, I seem to remember that one being able to go so many ways.
Yeah.
Like there was like you could kill this photographer like by electrocuting him. Like you get. Do you know what I'm talking about, Tony? Well, I guess you wouldn't have explored.
I didn't do that path. So.
So like there's like you could. I forgot. You know, this is well over a year ago now. It's like you could like. Get the whole family to pose for a picture, and like a professional photographer is like taking a picture of for them. But like you set it up so that he's standing in a puddle of water, and he gets electrocuted when he takes the picture. Like, and you know, yeah, it's like that's not like the goal of it. Like you said, like the goal if you're doing it right is doing what you did, kind of like,
yeah.
And you like interrogate everyone, right?
Yeah.
Like in so it's like not like a normal Hitman level in a way, but it's really neat.
It's like Knives Out or something. Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You like isolate each family member and you talk to them, and they're all like fuck ups. And then eventually you can figure out which one actually did it, or you can lie.
Yeah, I don't think I ever got it right like you did.
Well, so I got it right, but you can also lie. Tell her that the person who's dead committed suicide. She feels so guilty she jumps off a building, so you don't have to actually kill her yourself. But the funny part is, so you do the whole whodunit thing. You tell her who did it, and then she like walks up to the edge of a building to take a peaceful moment all by herself. So you can just walk up and push her off. But my thing is, like, there are guards standing all around you. There are guards underneath you. Like, why would you do that? So I watch her walk out onto the balcony. I walk out onto a different balcony and just throw a knife at her head. And then walk out the front door like nothing happened. Like, those are always the best ones. When you, like, can kill, like, the person and then just walk away.
Yeah, yeah.
Nope, I'm out of here. Bye. So
that's what I... those games are like so unique from anything else. Like, you know, that's kind of what I dig about it. Because I know you just like that feeling you get, like you just said, like you do that, and nobody suspected. Like, it just feels so good to walk out of the level, and like nobody gave a shit that you're walking past it.
Yep. After you're like, oh, yeah. See you later, and you're like, oh, yep, bye.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah, so I'm excited to play more. I think I'm going to get into some Hitman now.
Nice.
Four Horizons never going to get played at this rate, but
it'll be Hitman, there for the summer.
Hitman hits other, you know.
Hitman's also other issues. It's also technically really short. Like it only becomes long if you want to like play around with the other things. You know, like go back and do something different.
Right. I mean, you go through, you're finishing a Hitman level that you've never played before in an hour.
Yeah, and it's like the games are what, usually like 6 levels, so like.
I think they're 10.
No way, dude. Really? I don't think so.
I think Hitman 1 was 6 levels, but I thought they expanded that with 2 and 3.
Yeah, the second one was.
I don't know. I don't remember this one having a huge set of levels either. Like, you put them all together, you got a decent game there. Big old game.
I mean, also, like, you play through the different level, you're the same level, you follow a different storyline, like...
Oh, yeah, like, the levels are very replayable. Yeah, it's a pretty unique type of game. Really cool.
Yeah, so there's going to be more Slaughter in my future, I'm pretty sure.
Look forward to hearing more stories about how you're creatively killing people, Tony. I played Paparazzi. I don't know how you say it.
Paparazzi.
The dog photographing game.
Yep.
That's weird. it's super simple. I thought it would be more like Pokemon Snap? But Jeff, Pokemon Snap's like on rails, right?
Yeah.
So this, like, it gives you like this open area. It's not an open world, but like an open area. You go around, take pictures of dogs, and they give you quests, like, you know, take, you know, picture of a dog in a hat or something. So you have to go find a dog in a hat, take a picture of it. Take a picture of two dogs playing with frisbee. So like, get a either throw a frisbee or find two dogs playing with frisbee. And there's like some more specialty like quests to like find, but generally they're all pretty simple. It's a pretty simple game. What is terrifying is the fact that you are literally a walking camera. like at some point you unlock selfie mode. And when I did that, so I clicked it on, and it's like all of a sudden there's just like a camera there. And that's you. You're the camera. Like, and when you take pictures, like the camera is in the frame. It's very weird. Eventually, you end up on the moon, though. You're taking pictures of dogs on the moon.
As you do.
Yeah.
Right.
It's neat.
Was this on Game Pass or something?
It is on Game Pass.
Okay. I was like, why are you playing?
It was easy achievements. I heard it was a really easy completion. Unfortunately, the achievement for unlocking all the camera parts seems to be broken. It is is locked at 85% for me, and there's nothing to unlock. And when I go into levels and like, I was just trying to spam it, like go to the shop and press A just to see if anything happens, and the game just crashes. So I don't know if it needs a patch or what, but I guess I won't get all the achievements in that one.
No.
But I mean, it's cute enough. It's relaxing. You can finish it in like, you know, 3-4 days if you're, you know, playing just a little bit at a time. It's neat. It's not anything like super deep, but it's cute enough. The dogs are cute. And then I played some Forza Horizon 5. That game's, I mean, it's really good, but also the progression in that is broken. To the point where I have not finished any of the outposts. Like, I've unlocked them all, but I haven't done any of the finales for them yet. and I can already end the game by going to the Hall of Fame. Because I've earned enough of the star points or whatever it is, the accolade points. So, like, it seems really weird that, like, I haven't done any of the big final events. And they're just like, you're the Hall of Fame superstar. Come here, come to the Horizon Center. And when you do that, like, the cards will roll. So it's a little weird, but the game is very good. The racing's great. I am down to, like, I think I have like 10 or 12 races left to do. And because I've just been going through, like, I would just go one by one, unlocking everything up until I got to the finale, and then I would open up a new one before doing the finale. I was like, I'll just do all the finales at once. And then I hit the Hall of Fame thing, which I found weird. But that game, still great. Very good racing game. And it has kept me from spending $70 on Gran Turismo, which is evidently broken. Not in the sense that the racing is bad, but the economy in Gran Turismo 7 is just trash. They just released two new cars in the game that are valued at 18 million credits apiece in the game. And to earn them, it would take something like 660 races. At the race that earns you the most money in Gran Turismo 7, you have to race it 660 times in a row to earn the money for one of those cars.
All getting good, Chris. You gotta get good.
Yeah, or you can spend $288.
This sounds like total, like you said, total bullshit.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm not sure I want to play that game now. Like, one of the cool things about Horizon is, like, you're constantly getting new cars to race as.
There's always, you know, it's constant, like, a feeling of reward or whatever.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And I get, like, you know, GT is more of a sim racer, but I don't want to be stuck driving a fucking Honda Civic for 40 hours. Like, and the reason people want to play those types of games, especially in the sim games, is you want to drive the supercars on the actual tracks and, like, in the actual races. So, yeah, you want to drive, like, you know, the Porsche Spyder.
Yeah, I could drive my 2004 Corolla in real life, dude.
Right.
I don't need to.
Like, I don't need to be driving the Corolla through these race courses for 40 hours. I want to drive these cars I'm never going to have a chance to drive because they cost way more than I'll ever be able to afford.
I heard about this kind of, but it's just shitty. Like,
it just makes, like, that is a series I've always loved Gran Turismo, but just hearing about that and hearing that they nerfed the earnings on the races as well, like, they lowered it plus made it so that if you're offline you don't earn credits, so you have to be online and it takes forever to earn them. It's so shitty.
That was bad.
Yep. That's it for games. I did post something in the Discord here for news.
Looking at charts and graphs.
Yeah. Game Pass released some stats. Well, Microsoft released some Game Pass stats at GDC. Subscribers play 40% more games after joining. So that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
It's free, like, with your subscription, you're gonna play. Games on average see 8.3 times more players. Day one launches see 3.5 times more players for large publishers, and indies see it by 15 times. That's huge. So, like, a game like Tunic,
it's gonna get a lot more people playing it than it would have.
I wouldn't have played. I wouldn't have it. There's no way.
Right. I played that demo, Tony, And I don't think I would have tried it again if it wasn't on Game Pass. And everybody was talking about it, like, oh my god, Tunic's so great.
Like, I think part of why everyone was talking about it is because of that.
Right, it's on Game Pass. You give it a shot without putting money out. And that's not to say that, you know, it's not worth the money. It's just I don't think I would give it a shot, or a lot of others would have even given it a shot.
It forces the issue more than, you know. Again, if it's a $30 game, I don't think this is quite the talk of the town as it is right now. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's just...
Subscribers spend 50% more.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Like, you would think... like, because the narrative, right, is... You know, the narrative of Brown Game Pass is that, like, those people don't... They don't buy anything. They just wait for it to come to Game Pass.
Well, no, but I guess that because this is like what does 50% more mean? Does it mean
More than what? Yeah,
more than the average.
Their average spend versus their lookalike.
Does that mean that like they're buying more games, or does that mean like they're more willing to like, buy DLC?
So they do have because... they do have a chart. They do have a graph, like a it looks like a PowerPoint presentation here. 60% more. In games, 45% more in add-ons, and 45% more in consumables. So up just across the board. Like, they buy more games, they buy more DLC, they buy more, like, in-game currency and shit you can spend. Per their chart, like, you know.
Compared to people who do not have Game Pass, right?
Yes.
Is that, like,
okay. Exactly. So, like, non-Game Pass is, like, your baseline. That's what they're calling their lookalike. And they're comparing that to, you know, the average Game Pass member. I don't know how they're comparing them. Like, I do think that would be interesting to find.
It's unintuitive, but I guess the explanation for it could be, you know, that Game Pass is causing people to engage with playing games more. So your interest in games is up, you might buy more, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
And I will say anecdotally, as far as I know, I've a couple, like a coworker and a good friend who I'd say are very, very casual gamers, you know, like pretty much get your annual sports game type gamers. As far as I know, I do know I talked both of them into getting Game Pass, and as far as I know, they both still have it. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know how much it's getting them. Like, I don't know if they're trying out everything that comes out on it. I kind of doubt it, but they're right. Keeping it around. I don't know. It's interesting. Hope it never goes away. I like it a lot.
And the last bullet point that this tweet had was NDC triple digit revenue growth. So it looks like they see a 110% increase on the game and add-ons, and then 190%. I don't really know how this math works out, but they're saying 190% is based on the Microsoft payment to them and bonuses, I guess, for usage, plus more people playing Tunic means that more people are going to buy it and possible add-ons for such a game to the tune of 110% more. So that neat stats. I mean, they're all coming out of Microsoft, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking that too when we started this. I'm like, well, you're looking at a corporation showing you charts and graphs and shit. Like, of course, they're going to, like, spin it as much as they can.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and I mean it's at GDC, so you know they're talking to developers, talking to publishers, trying to get them to come to their service as well. They're gonna give you the best statistics they can, but it's neat. I mean, I like Game Pass. So.
I think it's pretty clear that Game Pass is a success, though. Like, even before we had this info, and I think they were right. I think they're right in their thinking of, like, this is where gaming is going. I think it's only a matter of time before Sony and maybe, well, fucking Nintendo, who knows what they're doing? They're kind of doing sort of shit now.
I mean, they're trying to do stuff, right? Like
Yeah,
they're
you pay more for their online and you get Mario Kart tracks. I don't know. And all the
old
N64 ROMs.
N64 games, the Genesis
Yeah.
games,
Yeah.
and Nintendo and Super Nintendo games that they don't update anymore, but.
Hey, it's so ridiculous, dude. Like, if I were them, I'd really be trying to make something of that. Like, again, it's never going to be like the reason you're buying their system, but it's like, dude, just how hard is it to throw a couple fucking games out? They should be throwing games out every week on that shit. Like, there's thousands of fucking games. Like, what are you doing?
You would,
I don't know.
well, I mean, the one kind of point I would say is like there's thousands of games. That doesn't mean you have access to them. There's going to be, I mean, there's a crap ton of games just lost to licensing to begin with. Companies that are insolvent or don't no longer exist. Like, I mean, I don't even know who owns like a game's backlog, and that's a crap ton of games on like with Nintendo, Super Nintendo, N64. Yeah, it's just like yes, I don't, there should be more, but I'm also like, and also a lot of third parties are holding them off because why put them on that when you can do a Castlevania collection, a Konami, Ninja Turtles collection, a Mega Man collection, and stuff like that, or you can make Sega who sells a collection over and over again and then put the same games on the service anyhow. So.
Due to all of the above.
Yep. I don't know, was it, did you guys catch any other news this week?
I'm gonna say no, and then I'm sure I'm gonna think of something. Oh, I mean, I guess this is news, even though I swore we've talked about this before, that Suicide Squad kills the Justice League is delayed until 2023. Though so I'm almost certain that already happened.
Yeah, I was pretty sure that that had already.
Yeah. Sad, I guess.
Again,
Sad
I thought it
again,
was
sad for the second
2023,
time.
so.
Maybe not so sad if we already knew. Slightly less sad.
Yeah, we're
Yeah, I don't.
still getting that. What is it, Gotham Knights?
Yes. And that's in October, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, I couldn't have seen both of those coming.
Yeah, again, I just when they like, it was an announcement, I'm like, I don't know why. I maybe it was like a Bloomberg report that I was gonna miss this year or something like that.
It is.
But
So I'm looking at it now. So like I just typed in Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, and most of it is from today. And then a month ago, there is an article from Bloomberg, saying that it was delayed. But I guess that was probably Jason Schreier getting his
yeah.
scoop.
Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed, a new asymmetrical multiplayer game with the Ghostbusters from the developers behind Friday the 13th video game. So,
That sounds okay.
yeah, I mean, I like Friday the 13th. It's gonna be weird when the, I guess, heroes are the, not the majority, but like, I mean, Ghostbusters tend to be more powerful than the ghosts. But yeah, I'm happy that they got something. Oh yes, and that in the reverse Thanos, Jade Raymond's Haven Studio got acquired by PlayStation. So I feel like in the past like 15 years, she's worked with most of the major publishers. I know she's
How
worked with
many games
Ubisoft.
has she shipped in that time?
I was gonna say,
One.
has she? I don't.
Battlefield 2, Battlefront 2. She helped work on that as an executive producer. The last game before that was with when she was still with Ubisoft.
So like
It's been a while.
15 years.
It's been a while, but she's worked with, because what, I think she's worked with now Google, Ubi, EA, and now Sony.
Sony, yep. She didn't release anything under Stadia with Google. And Haven hasn't released anything yet, but yeah, I mean, she
I
was,
mean,
well,
get that bag, but it's just
yeah, I
so funny.
guess, yeah. But yeah, she hasn't been. I mean, even with Battlefront 2, she was just, you know, she was senior vice president of you know, whatever part of Electronic Arts she was working on. She wasn't actually, she didn't actually ship that game. She was an EP on whatever the Mighty Quest for Epic Loot was for Ubisoft. Probably Far Cry 4 was the last like actual game she was maybe involved in. Nope, managing director is like, she's just kind of been up top. She hasn't actually been dealing with actual games in quite a while.
I don't know. But yeah, that's all I have for news.
I'm sure she's really nice, and I hope that.
Nothing against her. I just find it funny that like everybody's like wanting to work with her, and like we've not seen anything in quite some time.
Yeah. Well, maybe this is the one. Maybe Haven finally dropped something, and for a second I thought that was the studio that Sony trotted out that was made up of the X Treyarch. They're making like a first person shooter or something for Sony. And they trotted them out last year, and we're like, we've partnered with these guys that have never made a game, as a studio, but no, Haven was Jade Raymond's, as you said. So,
yeah, I don't know.
All right. Well, that seems to be it for news. I don't see anything else here.
You want me to tell you about Elden Ring?
No. We do have a busy week today. This week, Kirby comes out in like 3 minutes, and also Tiny Tina's Wonderland, which snuck up on me because as much as I enjoy Borderlands, I got so tired of seeing that game everywhere last year that I just did not pay attention to it. I don't think I'm going to pick it up this week. I think it's one of those games that will, one, either be on Game Pass, though I don't think any Borderlands game is on Game Pass, actually.
One of the Borderlands one, I think it was Borderlands 2, was like a year ago, but
okay,
not in a while.
But more likely than not, it will be. It's like Borderlands right now, you can find it for like usually $15-$20, so that will probably be the thing for me.
I've heard good things about it. I did not like Borderlands 3.
Really?
Yes, and I've heard it is better than Borderlands 3.
Yeah.
Not a high bridge to cross, but
really, you guys thought it was bad? I liked it. I don't know.
It's fine, but it felt like more Borderlands, and I do think after a while, especially, you know, like, there's already been 3 games with that style, and I feel like more than anything, the humor just got really, really dated with that one.
Yeah, we played through like that first level, and like all the characters were just like yelling.
Like, I mean, it's obnoxious.
Yeah, it was like super obnoxious, and I don't know. I just couldn't get into it for whatever reason. This idea that like this plays a little bit differently than Borderlands seems neat. Like there's like a melee focus to it. They throw more swords at you.
I should say I am not getting this game either. I had no plans to get this game. But
I will wait for Earl's take on it.
no pressure.
I'm not opposed to getting a 4-player shooter, you know, adventure game, whatever. But I don't know. I felt a little burned on Borderlands 3. Kirby scoring pretty well too.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of better than I expected. Based on the demo, but
I think people, because I've seen some reviews, and I think Kirby knows what it is. Kirby's always known what it is, and some people are like, it's not a difficult game, it's not a challenging game, it's never been. I think in many ways it's kind of a good palate cleanser to the last month of Elden Ring, where like this is a very wholesome and cute and like you're not gonna pull your hair out type of game.
Yeah, I tried that with Yoshi, and it was.
I think you can.
Spoilers.
Be
that game sucks. Like,
yeah. I think I don't know why. I find Kirby a lot more appealing than Yoshi in that regard. Because, like, I love Epic Yarn, and I found Woolly World kind of the same, where it was like, oh, this is neat, but it's not Kirby. And I think there's just something about his world and his characters that. Because a lot of. Like, Yoshi's stuck in, like, that Mario. Super Mario World 2 thing where it could get hit and all the things spray out, and like Kirby's a different beast, so yeah.
I should also just add, I've not played a ton of Yoshi. Like, I've played I don't know how many levels, but I'm not like I've not beaten the game, so but it's just I don't know why you would make a game that boring. Like, why would you?
Again, I don't think it's boring. I think it is for a younger demographic.
I think kids would be bored with Yoshi.
I played with kids. I think the fact that it's hard to die and stuff actually does play to them. And it's again, but yes, it is not necessarily a game that you and I would. Like, I mean, calling a spade, I would also kind of say the same thing about Mario games. As much as I love them, they're not the hardest games in the world to beat.
Not hard. I don't care. I'm saying it's just boring. Like, it's so bland.
I think to me, the biggest issue with the Yoshi game, I assume the one on the Switch, is that you beat the stage and it's like, oh, now you get to beat the stage in reverse. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, we just did this, but sure.
Yeah, the only thing I liked about Crafted World was, like, the design of the levels. Like, I thought they were really neat. And then that reverse. But like where you're seeing the back of the cardboard and how they're all
Up.
It was neat. But the game itself is not great.
I'm honestly kind of mad I spent $40 on it. Like, I waited for a sale of it being $40, and I'm still like, that's not, again, I will probably play through it, and I'm still early, so like maybe it gets a little more interesting, like the levels get cooler, but so far I'm just like, oh my god. Who thought this should be a crime? This should be prosecutable.
Pay $28 for it.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
And Ghostwire's out as well, right? Or is that already out?
I know reviews came out this week. I don't know if it's out already or if it's out this week.
Seems like an interesting game. I don't know good, but it seems like it's trying something different. Might not succeed all the way, but.
And then we get a break for a bit, I think.
It's unless you're looking forward to Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, I am, but.
Yeah, it's okay. There are people doing that, so.
That game actually looks really good. Like they've changed how Lego games play. To some degree and how they're like the shooting levels actually look like they're shooting, the vehicle levels look a little better. Visually the game looks super impressive, but still a Lego game, so sure it's not super hard. Then it looks like maybe till like the end of the month with Nintendo Switch Sports.
Yeah, because Advance World was pushed back because of war. So yeah, it's a quiet April.
Maybe at some point in here, I'll get to fuck around with my emulation machine and play one of the fucking 50,000 games I own currently.
Yeah, you should let us know.
That thing really, like, about that. Cut out my excitement for that Ninja Turtles collection. Like, if I did not have that thing, because it's, like, literally, it's 100% the same. Like, I'm playing them on a controller on my TV, like, they play great, like... I could do save states. You know what I mean? Like,
I wonder if it'll have a rewind function.
In that collection coming out, yeah. Like, the only thing that would make me want to get that collection is kind of the packaging type thing of it. Like, being able to play it, like, on an Xbox controller, getting achievements, like, things like that. But other than that, like, I have those games right now. I could play them right now, and they'd play just fine. Like, you know what I mean? It's like...
Yep.
It's a tough one for me because I do think that's a cool looking, like, that's the type of shit I get excited for. Like, you know, the, like, those Castlevania collections, like the last one they did, I really was happy with that, but I don't know if I would buy that now that I have this stupid little box I want. It's really neat from what I've checked out of it.
You'll get it anyway.
The Ninja Turtles?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know if I love those games as much as like something like Castlevania. I don't know.
It's not even the off thing, even though I do like some. It's a Ninja Turtles thing. That's why I'm waiting to see if there's like a special edition.
You want to like go all out?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I don't, Ninja Turtles is, as much as, you know, like, I'm big on, Ninja Turtles is the original fandom for me. Like, Ninja Turtles, I mean, literally, I tell people this, like, my favorite color is orange because my favorite Ninja Turtle is Michelangelo. And that has been the way since I was 5 years old. So, like, 32 years now. I'm like, so Ninja Turtle, that was my choice and I'm sticking with it.
There was a thing going around this week that the original Ninja Turtles movie was like the secret best comic book movie, and I'm like, you know, it holds up way better than I thought it would watching it. Like,
I don't know if it's the secret best, but I think I hear something similar because like they get it right the first two movies. The first two movies are fantastic films, and then like the next 20-30 years, they don't know what to do with the property, so we get the Michael Bay abominations and the Turtles in Time, which is unrelated to the video game. So,
all right, well, we'll be back next week with all of that fun stuff. Actually, I don't know if anybody's getting Kirby, so
more Elden Ring talk.
Can't wait.
I got my cool little helmet. Anyways,
Earl and I will be bringing more Halo TV to,
yeah,
because everybody needs to hear about that. All right, well, have a great week, and Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.